Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the Air podcast channel. As ever, I'm your host Guy Drinkle, and joining me for a pod that we actually promised about a week ago, probably a bit longer. We promised it'd be the next one and we almost kept it to the week. It's going to be Carl's gaming history, but as ever, we do go for the news. But firstly, how are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. Just a bit bored with the lack of football or anything related to football. How about yourself?
Yeah, after Sunday, all the sport's gone away now. Like, I don't like cricket anyway, but that was mad. Wimbledon was mad. We had Bradford, which was a bad game. But, I mean, the America tour starts next weekend, I suppose, so it start becoming almost competitive football. Probably still not, but yeah, it should get more interesting at the weekend. But yeah, there's no happening football wise for Liverpool. So my schedule was free, Carl's schedule was free. Why not just cramming a one up that we actually promised? But as I said, Carl, we'll start with the news. It's probably going to be our least news heavy show ever, news story heavy show ever. We've only got the one. It's about the big news from Nintendo, which has kind of split people. But yeah, why don't you take us through the Nintendo Lite, or Switch Lite, I should say.
Yeah, so Nintendo announces portable-only Switch Lite arriving September, and this comes from Emma Kent over at Eurogamer. And Emma writes, following earlier reports that two new Switch models were on the way, Nintendo has finally confirmed one of those, the new portable-only Nintendo Switch Lite. According to Nintendo, the Switch Lite is a, quote, compact, lightweight console that's dedicated to handheld play, end quote. By dropping the original model's detachable Joy-Cons in favor of integrated controls, which notably swaps the standard Switch's left-hand buttons for a proper D-pad, the new offering is both slimmer, lighter, and features slightly better battery life. It's due to arrive in stores on 20th September and will cost $199.99, which is around £159.76, compared to the original's $299.99 price tag, which is around £239.68. So what do you lose to get the price down to $199? Alongside the now-ditched Joy-Cons, the handheld-only console drops support for TV and tabletop modes, meaning you don't get a kickstand or a Switch dock either. In terms of game compatibility, Nintendo states the Switch Lite can play all games in the Switch library that support handheld mode, but games without handheld support can still be played by connecting wireless compatible controllers, which will be sold separately. Further sacrifices include the lack of HD rumble and IR motion camera, while the size of the console and its screen is also reduced. The regular Switch is 102 millimeters high and 239 millimeters long, while the Lite version is 91.1 millimeters high by 208 millimeters long. The touchscreen, meanwhile, is 5.5 inches compared to the original 6.2 inches, and the slimmer size means the weight drops from 297 grams, 398 grams of controllers attached, to 275 grams. Lastly, Switch Lite's battery life is also marginally better than the original version, with the specs promising approximately 3 to 7 hours of play instead of 2.5 to 6.5 hours. Most importantly of all, however, it comes in three snazzy standard colors, yellow, gray, and turquoise. Or if you don't fancy any of those, Nintendo of America has revealed a special light gray Pokemon version, which will be available from 8th of November. Sadly, the special edition will not include a copy of Pokemon Sword or Shield, either bundled or preloaded. And you can read the full story over on Eurogamer. So what's your kind of hot take on this, Guy?
Just makes sense, doesn't it, really? I think me and you probably both agree on this. I think Nintendo Switch, it can't really compete with PlayStation as a console, and probably the same with Xbox. Obviously, Nintendo's got its own rabid fan base, etc. But Nintendo's whole, well, probably since the Game Boy, I'm not sure what year it was, it must have been the 90s. Since the 90s, they've just owned handheld gaming. I know the PSP and the Vita and stuff like that, but I imagine the DS was outselling the PSP, etc. So they've always owned handheld gaming. Like, the emergence of mobiles not really affected it. As I mentioned, the PlayStation couldn't break that market. Or they could, but they couldn't topple Nintendo in that market. I think it just makes sense. I mean, if this model was out when I was buying mine, I probably would have got this one. Because from my own personal experiences, I've only really used the Switch on the TV, probably out of boredom more than anything. Because the Switch for me, I've not used it too much. But I've used it in handheld when, say, someone's watching TV or in the same room as me. But the only time I've used it on the TV is probably when I was like, I've got Civ 6. I've played it on a laptop. I wonder what it looks like on my TV. And it's big. And it's just Civilization. But yeah, I just think it makes complete sense. And I probably would have got this one. I'm obviously not going to get rid of my big one to get this one. But yeah, I think it, I'm surprised this didn't really come out sooner, really. It couldn't be that hard to make a model, but I suppose improving the battery life whilst making it its own separate entity makes sense, I suppose. But yeah, I don't see the problem with it, really.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would echo what you've said in that it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I recall earlier in the year that when these rumors started to break about two new Switch models, Nintendo actually played it down and said they had nothing to announce anytime soon, and said they wouldn't be announcing any new hardware at E3. And that kind of surprised me, because I thought really getting a portable Switch at the very least, I not so much the Pro or the kind of specced up model, but the handheld model, to get it out alongside Pokemon, like the first core Pokemon games for the Switch, made a lot of sense. So I thought, if they weren't announcing at E3, when? I mean, I was starting to kind of wonder if possibly it wasn't coming out this year, which, you know, frankly, would be crazy. So when I kind of one day just seen on Twitter that they had announced this, I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense, because it's a no-brainer, really, to get a handheld Switch out there, especially into the hands of the younger audience that primarily play it in handheld mode. I mean, it's interesting you suggesting that you'd have probably opted for the handheld mode or handheld model had that been an option for you when you purchased your Switch. Now, I'm not so sure myself, because although I'll admit I primarily have played it in handheld mode. There have been occasions with Smash and that where I've had friends and, you know, obviously we play on the TV. So obviously you're going to lose that functionality if you don't have the dock. So I think I probably still would have opted for the regular version. But I think there certainly would have been a decision to be made there because... you know, it is a case that you spend a lot of the time on the Switch with it in handheld. I mean, I can understand why it didn't come out with the handheld model from the offset. I think for two reasons. Firstly, they wanted to focus on the whole gimmick of the Switch, the whole fact that it switches, that it can switch from TV to handheld. So I think to give an option that wasn't that would have taken away from that somewhat. And then obviously as well, the 3DS was still going quite strong at the time the Switch launched. You know, we're talking over 2 years ago now. So, I mean, it makes complete sense that they stuck with the 3DS at the time. But now I think the time is right with Pokemon on the horizon. And furthermore, obviously, you're going to have Animal Crossing in the spring, and I think that's another game that lends itself well to being handheld. Obviously the last core Animal Crossing game was a 3DS title, so a lot of the fans of that group that title are going to have been used to playing it handheld, so this is going to be a natural fit for them. I could see if there's some kind of people that primarily, I mean, and I know of Nintendo fans that would largely play Animal Crossing and Pokemon. And if they were held, like if Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee weren't enough to bring them across from their 3DSs, I think this now will be alongside a core Pokemon game and, of course, Animal Crossing. I think it'll be a no-brainer. It is strange that there's no Nintendo bundle involving the Pokemon Sword and Shield with the Switch Lite. But I'm sure I'd be very surprised if the retailers don't take the initiative to create a bundle of their own, which will feature the console and the game. Because, I mean, it would be an easy sell, to be honest.
Yeah, that is quite strange. You know, I almost got, like, I think I almost got the Eevee edition of my Switch, and then I ended up just getting the red and blue one, like a normal person. But yeah, it's just... the fact that they've made a Pokemon themed one, but not partnered it with the game, it's just kind of, or paired it with the game, I should say. It just seems a bit strange. But yeah, I imagine, Game, Amazon, etc. will do their own bundles, as you mentioned. And yeah, it's just a strange one. It is a strange one. But yeah, I think you've nailed it there with Pokemon and Animal Crossing too. Well, Pokemon must be the biggest handheld gaming franchise ever. And Animal Crossing, as we mentioned on our E3 review, that's got its own niche audience, and quite big niche audience. And that, if they're experienced with that in handheld, it's still going to translate well to that. So yeah, fair game. But did anything you want to add, Carl, before we get onto the topic?
Yeah, just one thing. I just kind of wanted, it was interesting your take on it as well. The battery life, I mean, the fact they only seem to be squeezed an extra half hour out of the battery. I mean, is that disappointing at all to you? I mean, I would have been expecting, I'm not going to lie, maybe at least 2 hours extra battery life.
Half an hour is bugger all, isn't it, really? The only time I've talked, the only time I've used my Switch on the go type thing, I went from the northeast, where I live, obviously, to my mate's house, which is like on the outskirts of Hull. It was about 3 hours ish, and I just have the normal Switch, as I mentioned. The battery life was a bit crap for that. Like, I think I was only played like Crash Bandicoot. And I think I put on, like, Stardew Valley for a little bit, but it wouldn't last that long. And to add an extra half an hour on what will be just a handheld console, it doesn't really make sense. Because I know it's difficult to compare, but when I had my DS, the battery lasted on ages on that. Game Boy Advance that I've got, I know it was just double D batteries, but it still lasted quite long unless you had the light attachment on when it would just destroy your whole life. it is quite disappointing, but obviously the better, the more advanced the console is, the maybe battery technology hasn't caught up to the graphical needed performance or technological performance that's needed. So maybe battery technology just not caught up to the rest of the gaming industry, I suppose. But I think that's the difficulty of it when you're trying to get a big ass handheld console, because the other ones we've mentioned in terms of the DS, even the PSP, that they're tiny in comparison, I suppose, to both versions of the Switch. So, but half an hour, it just seems stupid. I mean, you could just whack some double D's in there somewhere and you'll get a couple hours at least. Xbox and all that, I've got fucking loads of them.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, no, it is. I suppose, as you said, it may just be basically the limitations of the technology, really. I mean, there may not be that much further they can take the batteries, which is a shame, because if they could have gotten a couple extra hours there, it would have made a massive difference in terms of handheld play.
Pull your finger out, Duracell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's all we can really talk about on the Switch, and it'll be interesting to see how well that does, because it might make Nintendo invest in batteries, because I think that's the biggest criticism, it really is the battery life. But yeah, Carl, that is the news. There is no other big news story that's broken in the week, which is, well, it's the summer, though. What it's not really to expect is it's the gap between E3, Gamescom, and Comic-Con, or San Diego Comic-Con, which is still more entertainment stuff than gaming stuff. But we might respond to stuff if anything comes out with that affects gaming and stuff. But Carl, the reason we're here, we did mine last week, it's yours this week, gaming history. So just to walk people through, if they've not listened to my half, basically what we're going to do is we're going to start with first console, what did through the generations of consoles and stuff like that, favourite games, any funny stories, any important games, I mean, or anything like that, and then the state of current situation, if you've got the Xbox One, Switch, whatever, and just general storytelling, I suppose. So, Carl, first console, the best place to start, what did you have, what team were you on?
Well, it's actually a difficult one for me to answer, to be honest. I suppose there's really two, and even more so four answers. Now, the reason for that is, you see, I'm the youngest of three boys, and my elder brothers are 6 and 8 years older than me, respectively. So obviously, gaming had been introduced to my house before I even came to be. And when I became kind of cognizant of kind of the things around me, by that point, my brothers already had three systems, those being a Commodore 64, a Nintendo Entertainment System and a Sega Mega Drive. Now, apparently my initial encounters with games involved me pulling the tape out of my brother's Commodore 64 games. Something that would horrify kind of older me, but as a kid, a baby, I suppose, I didn't know any better. But as a result of that, obviously, my initial kind of early memories of gaming were watching my brothers play games. I remember watching my brothers play Mario 3 on the Nintendo. I remember them playing kind of Commodore 64 games like Flimbo's Quest and Boogie Boy, which I'm sure some of our older listeners might be familiar with. In terms of playing games, then I think kind of maybe when I was 3.5, 4, the brother that was closest to my age, that he would allow me to play with him when my older brother wasn't around. So I remember, I think that the earliest game I remember playing was Bubble Bobble on the C64. I'm sure, again, a lot of people would have played co-op on that back in the day. It was one of kind of the early popular co-op titles. And then kind of from there, it just kind of spun off with kind of playing Sonic 2, with me, of course, having to play Tails, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, my parents noticed, obviously, that I quite enjoyed gaming, but at the same time, they noticed that my brothers, particularly my eldest brother, didn't like me playing with their systems. So in order to resolve that, for my 5th birthday, my parents got me a Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And I remember it well. It was the Super Mario All-Stars bundle, came bundled with that. And then also the store obviously included Earthworm Jim and Tiny Toons Olympics as well. And then I think shortly afterwards, my cousin gave me his copy of Killer Instinct, which was, because he had gotten rid of his Super Nintendo but hadn't bothered getting rid of that game. So I would spend countless hours playing those four games. I think they're the only games I actually owned for my Super Nintendo. I never got another game for my Super Nintendo. But I would rent games. I remember every weekend I'd rent games. I rented the likes of Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. There was like a Smurfs game, among countless other titles. But I'd say the game I probably spent the most time with was probably Super Mario Kart, which went on to be one of my favorite games, as we discussed previously when we did our favorite games podcast. That was a game I borrowed off a friend, and I think I had it borrowed for about 3 years until I gave it back to them. I mean, I could play Mario Kart nonstop. I was just obsessed with just getting better and better, getting better times, which is strange because I've never really been a racing game fan. I don't know if there's any genre that you have like that, where you kind of just like one particular series and you're not really into anything else.
Ooh, that's a good question. I do like a racing game. Oh, it's weird, like strategy games are not my favourite, but I've played like Hogs of War, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strange one. Maybe horror. I mean, Resident Evil.
Yeah.
That kind of got more action-y as I played it, with like 5 and stuff like that. But I know I didn't really mention it, but Resident Evil Nemesis is probably the most horror-y one I've played, and I like that. But I've never really played Outlast or any stuff like that, so that's probably the closest thing, I suppose.
Yeah, it's funny when it happens, but I suppose just certain games or certain series can kind of catch you on. But to be honest, to say which side I was on, it's difficult to say. Obviously, I have such a soft spot for the Super Nintendo because it was my first personal console. But at the same time, I also grew up with a Mega Drive. And although my time spent with my brother's initial Mega Drive was somewhat limited, shortly afterwards, like a year or two later, when we moved house, a neighbor of ours gave us his Sega Mega Drive kind of as a long-term loan, and he had like a mountain of games, and I would have gotten a lot more of a chance to play that Mega Drive and play obviously all the games that were there. So, you know, I really love both consoles, to be honest. I hate to be a fence sitter, but I honestly, when it comes to the SNES and the Mega Drive, I was very much split down the middle. I mean, I think they both have like amazing games. I love Super Mario World, but I also love Sonic 2. So it's difficult for me to pick one or the other. Now, the reason probably why I never got many more titles from my SNES was because it was very short term that was my primary console. Because my brother, when the PlayStation 1 launched, he decided he wanted a PlayStation 1. He sold off the Mega Drive and the Commodore. I think he'd sold off the NES previous to that. And he got a PlayStation 1, which came with a number of games. I don't know how actually he afforded to get so many games with it, because they were expensive at the time, PlayStation 1s. And this was only a few months after the launch. But I remember he got like Alien Trilogy, Actual Soccer. There was another football game. I don't think it was FIFA, but I can't recall what it was. Might have been one of the early ISSs. I'm not too sure. There was Pandemonium, and I think there was a racing game as well, but I can't remember what it was. But, you know, the PlayStation 1 just seemed on another level to these other games. I mean, I remember playing Pandemonium. That was the only game I really played personally, because it appealed to me as being a platformer. But I watched my brother play through the entirety of Alien Trilogy. Probably at 5 years of age, shouldn't have been watching someone play through the entirety of Alien Trilogy. But nonetheless, I did. And it didn't actually give me nightmares, which is strange, because give it a 2-3 years later, if I played a horror game, I would be literally shitting it. I may as well jump ahead while on the topic, because it is my history. I remember once you brought up Resident Evil. I remember being over in my cousin's house. I had two cousins that were both of them were 2 or 3 years older than me each, and the two of them were very kind of close when I was younger, but they were also kind of the nearest to my age. And I remember them two playing Resident Evil when I was over, Resident Evil 2, while I was over with them once, and I was horrified. I was like, I think that like one of the liquors and it dropped down from the ceiling and I ran out of the room. I was that horrified. Like, so yeah, it's funny how things could change in a couple of years. I guess maybe at 5, I just wasn't aware enough of what was going on to be afraid of it. But I remember watching that. But then strangely, my brother quickly lost interest in console gaming. He traded in all his games except Alien Trilogy, which he'd lent to my cousin, same cousin, coincidentally, that I played Resident Evil 2 with. And he then got a Star Wars game. It was one of the earliest Star Wars games. I think it was one of the X-Wing games, or maybe it was Dark Forces, but it was one of the first Star Wars games to come out on the PS1. And he played that for a couple of days. He then sold that off, and then he was basically left with a PlayStation with no games. And the only time that PlayStation would be used would be when my other brother would rent a football game to play with my cousin every few weekends. So it was literally not being used. And, you know, I think maybe it was when I was 6 or 7, my brother just gave the PlayStation 1 to me and decided that may as well go to use. So that Christmas, I got Spyro, which was my first personal PlayStation 1 game. Now, I don't know if it was the same Christmas or maybe my birthday before that. I think it would have been my birthday before that I actually got my first handheld, which was a Game Boy Pocket, which came with Super Mario Land, Super Mario Land 2, and Tetris. And, you know, I just kind of complete Super Mario Land 1 and 2 over and over and over again, but they were the only the real games I had until Pokemon, which I believe came the Christmas after I got Spyro. So I got Spyro, loved Spyro. Spyro was my jam. I just play it for hours and hours. I mean, because it was the only game I had for a good while, I put crazy amount of time into that game. Now, I did buy another game after Christmas, which I believe was Small Soldiers, which, because I loved the movie at the time, I had like an archer figure.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a terrible game. Like, the single player was awful, like you expect from licensed games in the PS1. But I remember the multiplayer being fun. Like, I'd play it with my brother, or with, like, friends of my brother and stuff, and the multiplayer was cool. It was just kind of like a death match type thing, and that was a load of fun. But they were kind of my early games, and kind of then over the years, with the PS1 was my primary console. Back then I didn't really have a clue, kind of what games were good or what games weren't good. So, I'm sure you knew yourself, you'd pick up a lot of bad games.
Oh yes.
Like I remember, and Alta as well. What would, certain games, the odd time I'd kind of have in my mind that I wanted, and I'd ask for them for Christmas or birthday, but then there'd be other times where then I'd get vouchers or money off relatives or whatever, and you'd go out and try and buy a game, and then you'd be like, what will I get? And sometimes you'd even make the mistake of kind of getting the your parents being like, oh, look at this game, and just picking that game, and it ended up being terrible. Like, for example, I remember I got Army Men Sarge's Heroes.
Oh my god, I remember that game!
Which is absolutely horrendous. I remember playing it with my friend and him being like, what is this game? Like, it's so bad. But I picked up some other games, like around kind of the time I got the PS1, my brother got into PC gaming, and he used to borrow things like Command and Conquer, Age of Empires, other strategy games. I remember there was a Star Trek strategy game that he had, which I can't think of the name offhand, but it was awesome. I absolutely adored it. So I started to get into strategy games. So I remember, for example, for my PS1, I picked up kind of some strategy games that I'd played on PC, not knowing that they're far worse on PlayStation, but I picked up like Red Alert and Theme Park. Mm. So, and I'd still play them and enjoy them, but they just weren't the same on PS1. Obviously, again, around this time, kind of jumping back and forth, but it's on the time scale. I would have kind of gotten Pokemon finally for my Game Boy, and Pokemon was just mind blowing. And we've talked about Pokemon so many times here, but I loved Pokemon. Like, I remember getting Pokemon on Christmas morning, playing Pokemon, stopping playing Pokemon to watch Pokemon, and then going back to playing Pokemon. That was just an awesome Christmas. Just that one game was just amazing. And that would be my Game Boy time for the next few years, would just be Pokemon games. Like, I remember I got a Game Boy Color the following Christmas to replace my Game Boy Pocket, but I never really got any Game Boy Color games. I think at the time I had the Game Boy Color, I only ever had one game, I think, which is a Game Boy Color game, which was an X-Men game I got with my Game Boy Color. It's like an X-Men beat 'em up. It was okay. I loved X-Men at the time. I enjoyed beat 'em ups. Like, it was all right. But again, it was largely just for playing Pokemon, Pokemon Red, Pokemon Yellow, which I got for my following birthday when it came out. A later point, Pokemon Silver. I played through the entirety of Pokemon Silver in Japanese because a friend of mine got it early while visiting family in Taiwan. So I was like, I have to play this game now. And I completed it without knowing what was going on half the time. Like, I just loved Pokemon so much. And that was really what my Game Boy time was all about. But again, with the PS1, like, it was, I spent a lot of time on it, but at the same time, I never owned that many games. I remember one pickup, though, actually, that, was bizarrely was a game my mom just picked up and was like, oh, what about this game? It looked like cute characters on the front of the cover. And that turned out to be a game called Guardians Crusade, which was the first Japanese RPG I ever played, which would go on to probably be my favorite genre. In future years, I'd be obsessed with Final Fantasy and Suikoden and Breath of Fire and all those kind of games. And that was my actual first. And it was a complete fluke that I picked it up. And on that note, then I would have kind of, when I was about 9, I would have met a friend of mine who remains my best friend to this day. And he just moved over here from England, and he had like a chipped PS1. I'm not sure if you're familiar with chipped PlayStation 1s.
Oh, whilst we're there, we have to talk about Blockbuster and other game rental places. Just what a bunch of heroes they were back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, game rentals was massive. As I said earlier, in my Super Nintendo days early on, it was all about the rentals. That was every weekend I get a different game to try, and that's how I got to try so much of the Super Nintendo library. And then later on PS1, again, because I had such a, like, I'd only get maybe one or two, maybe three max new games a year, so that would be largely filled with game rentals. I mean, that's what you did. You'd stay in sleepovers with a friend, you'd rent games. I mean, that was the culture. I mean, kids nowadays just don't know. I mean, kind of towards the end, my brothers actually worked in our local game store, so I had the benefit that I'd get to get games rented for free. Not that they had much of a selection, being like kind of a mom and pop video game rental. So I mean, what was it kind of your experiences with rentals?
We used to go to Blockbuster. It was like the next town over. Also had a chipped, well, I think we had chipped every bloody console back in the day, original Xbox, PS1, PS2. I don't know why this game's sticking in my head, but it was like it was Donald Duck rather than Daffy Duck. It was a Disney game. Can't remember the game at all. I remember it pissed me off, but I don't know why, but that's stuck in my memory now. But, I have boxes of copied games.
So you'd rent them and then copy them?
Maybe.
Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly, yeah. Yeah, that's actually like my... I know, again, I'd never heard of chipped consoles. They weren't as common over here. But my friend had, like, he had a mountain of games. Like, I remember he had a friend, like a family friend over in England that would literally, like, give them, like, this kind of sheet list of like games he could get, and then they'd pay £5 a game. But later on they figured they could just copy games, so I remember actually one game he rented from our local store and then copied it. It was an RPG, so I remember that well. But I mean, like, him having, like, he had literally at least 200 PS1 games, maybe more, yeah, largely chipped. Now the drawback of that is I didn't have a chipped PS1 game, so I couldn't borrow these games. He did have a handful of legit games that I could borrow off him, and I did borrow a few, but with these, unfortunately, I couldn't borrow, so I'd have to wait to his house to go to his house to play them. But you know, I did get that opportunity, so that's when I first got to play like Final Fantasy 7, Suikoden 1 and 2, Grandia, like all these JRPGs largely was what we would play, and I was just mind blown. I mean, he also had like quite a large PC game collection, because his dad was a PC gamer, so loads of strategy games. I mean, like, it was just destiny that I would make friends with this guy, because like all the genres I loved, he loved, and he just had a lot more games than I did at the time. So like that was, I literally spent summers at, like, most of my summer I'd be at his house playing like games with him. And that suited me fine. So it didn't really matter that I didn't have a large selection of PS1 games myself, because I got to play so much of the library at his house. Now, obviously, PS1 eventually came to an end, moved to PS2. And I remember PS2 well, because I remember in the run-up to Christmas that year. Now, it wasn't the year the PS2 launched. It was the year after. But in the run-up to Christmas, I remember a friend of mine who lived around the corner from me, she was getting a PS2 for Christmas, and her mom even allowed her to play it early to test it, because her mom was a bit naive. Let's say, it's strange to say that about an adult, but she was. So she got her PS2. She knew she was getting it. I asked my parents for a PS2, and my mom was like, oh no, those machines are way too expensive. You'll get something else. You'll get like a surprise, because I couldn't think of anything else. And I was disappointed at the time, but then Christmas Day, I open up my presents and there's a PS2 with SmackDown, Just Bring It. And I was just mind blown. I mean, I was just like, wow. Like, my brother worked in Electronic Boutique at the time, which obviously was the foregoer to Game here. Was it the same in the UK? Was it Electronic Boutique it was Game?
First, obviously, I'm a smidge younger than you. My first one was Game and Chips. That was in the town. I live in Mask. Anyone who's familiar with the Northeast, I live in Mask. The like shop place is Red Car, which is like 10 minutes away in a car, if that, probably not, like 5 minutes in the car. So yeah, I had game and chips. I'm not sure. Did you have chips over there, or was that an English thing?
I'd say it was an English thing. Yeah, we yeah, didn't
that
have.
That might be that then.
I mean, here, I remember kind of a lot of kind of independent stores when I was quite young. I can't remember the name of any of them, but I remember being in them. I've come across kind of the receipts for them, funny enough, over the years, buying secondhand games, like older PS1 games. So some people kept the receipt in the front of the case. And you're like, oh my God, that was store was on this street before Electronics Boutique or Game came in and took over the store, obviously. So I think largely what happened was we had kind of a number of independent stores. Electronics Boutique came over here, bought them all up, turned them all into Electronics Boutique, which eventually obviously became Game. And then somewhere down the line, GameStop came over as like kind of a competitor to Game. But initially we didn't really have chain stores here. My brother worked in Electronics Boutique, and I gather kind of he was the one who'd kind of organized getting the PS2 and that kind of thing. Just as he had previously with my Game Boy Color, I remember. It's a shock of the century getting a PlayStation 2. I think it also had, I remember my mom saying at the time that it was kind of like, that was the first year that I didn't believe in Santa Claus. Because like the year before, my presents had been ruined by a damaged present. So I think she just kind of wanted to make up for the lack of the magic of the big red man. So I got a PS2. I wasn't complaining. I remember like playing for hours with my older brothers playing SmackDown, because at the time I was obsessed with wrestling. I mean, I think SmackDown, Know Your Role, and the original. Now, I never owned the original SmackDown, but I did play it a lot at a cousin's, and then my brother picked up Know Your Role, and I played that religiously. So this was just awesome. And I remember then going out after, again, the old Christmas money, and picking up two games. I picked up Summoner, which was a JRPG, and there was like an action RPG. Like it was like one of the Might and Magic games. I don't know exactly what title, but I didn't like the Might and Magic game, and then Summoner was just hard as balls. So I ended up returning both of those games. Good old Electronics Boutique.
Oh, yes.
Kind of 10-day rentals. Swapped them both and ended up getting, again, buying a strategy game for a console. I picked up Age of Empires 2 for the PS2, which was so hard to play on PS2. I mean, I played a lot of it, but it was so hard to play. And then just over the years, I think with the PS2 was kind of the first console where, you know, I would have, especially kind of a couple of years in when I was 13, 14, you know, my dad used to give me money every week because he had a decent job at the time. And I used to just go and buy games. I used to raid the pre-owned bins. And that was the first time I kind of worked up a collection. I picked up a lot of the RPGs I liked. I used to get all the Tony Hawk's games and kind of the series I liked. I mean, that's another kind of one of my main PS2 memories, was I remember, actually just two PS2 members I'll touch on. One would be, I remember a random September going shopping with my mom, and she was like, you can get a game. I didn't expect to get a game. It wasn't my birthday. It wasn't Christmas. It was, in fact, jammed right between the two. And I ended up negotiating my way to two games, one of which was awful, which was a Men in Black game.
Oh, dear.
Again, one of those licensed games. I'm a glutton for punishment. I mean, we're seeing that trend here, buying licensed games and then also without thinking, and then also buying strategy games for consoles. Like I'm a glutton for punishment, but I got that. But then the other game was also a licensed game, but it was a great licensed game, which was the Spider-Man original motion picture game, like the tie-in for the first Sam Raimi.
That is chalk and cheese, that.
Yeah, exactly. I had one of the worst licensed games for PS2 and one of the best. And Spider-Man was just out of this world. Like, I it was just amazing. Like, I mind blown. Like, I think I'd played the, like, I was a massive Spider-Man fan. And we have touched on that, obviously, in the past when we talked about, like, the Spider-Man game for PS4 and that. I loved Spider-Man. And I'd never really gotten that experience with a game. I'd played, like, think I played the Spider-Man game back on the Genesis, or the Genesis, you know, my American out Mega Drive. And obviously I'd played the Neversoft Spider-Man game on the PS1. I'd borrowed that off a friend and it was fun. But, you know, and that was a very good game, don't get me wrong. But this was next level. I mean, this was being Spider-Man, swinging around a city, you know, being able to fight like Spider-Man. This was mind-blowing. This was probably one of my favorite games up until this point, and I just played this game non-stop. And so that's a fond memory from the PS2. And the other one would be, again, the post-Christmas sales, picking up games. I picked up a number of games, but one particular game I picked up was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4.
Oh, yes.
Which wasn't the first Tony Hawk's I'd played. A couple of my friends owned Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3, but this was the first one I owned. Picked it up. Again, I think for a good month, no other game went into my console. I mean, all I played were Tony Hawk's. And I rose up, I actually managed to get better at the game than any of my friends that actually skateboarded. I mean, I still couldn't do anything on an actual skateboard, but I could beat these skaters at their own game on the PlayStation. So that's all that matters. I mean, I loved that game. And there's nothing really more I could say to that. I mean, to kind of, I didn't actually, you know, jump it back and forth there. I didn't really touch any kind of other consoles. Obviously, you know, oftentimes I could only have kind of one console a generation, as most people could. I'm sure you were in the same boat then, because they were expensive. But I do remember with the previous generation playing the N64 at friends' houses and my cousin's house, getting to play the famous wrestling games, No Mercy and WrestleMania for N64, Mario Kart 64, which is actually my least favorite Mario Kart game. I know that's controversial. Diddy Kong Racing, Zelda, Mario 64. I mean, amazing games. I always wanted an N64 at the time, but I just, you know, I knew I had a PS1 and I couldn't expect to have both. But then on the PS2 era, I think GameCube and the original Xbox, obviously you were an original Xbox man as you went through on your episode. My experience with the original Xbox, I didn't actually play it until my friend, again, the best friend we talked about previously, he went on holidays back to Sheffield to visit family friends at one point, and he came back with an Xbox. He'd gone to their house, he'd played Halo, he loved Halo, he had to get an Xbox. So he went and got himself an Xbox, which came with like Halo, Elder Scrolls Morrowind, Rainbow Six 3, and one or two racing games, I think. But largely we just played Halo, just playing sniper matches on Blood Gulch and playing the campaign, and like we loved Halo. I do remember us messing around on Morrowind, which was like our first experience with Elder Scrolls, and I just remember like finding Morrowind impossible. I think like we ran up to some woman and hit her with our sword, and then she started shooting lightning at us, and then all the guards started chasing us, and then we died. And that was kind of the end, because it took about 10 minutes to load that game again. And so we weren't waiting 10 minutes. Oh, it was crazy.
You get spoon-fed everything in RPGs. Now Morrowind is like, just go over there. You'll fucking see it. Then you walk into Oblivion, it's like, we'll do you an entire path towards the quest. Morrowind was like, you just got to fight some twat in a temple that's like a million miles away. You'll find it. I see you. And then you go into a city and like, okay. And then you just get battered. It's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's insane. Like even a rash could just straight up murder you.
Exactly.
It's just that game was insane. But over time, then he picked up Fable. I had my own game save on Fable in his house. I think I might have even finished it in his house eventually, which was an amazing game. And then I think I touched on it when we were talking about your game history. When Halo 2 came out, he'd ordered it off Amazon. And he texted me to say it had arrived. I was in an English exam, my second year English exam, end of the year exam. I just left the exam and went, or not a Christmas exam, left the exam early. I think I still scraped a pass, but nonetheless, went to his house and just started playing Halo. I never left his house, went straight from school, played Halo 2, stayed over in his house, and I think we finished the campaign in like one sitting, because that's how we rolled. But that was kind of, they were my Xbox experiences. Meanwhile, GameCube, I picked up myself because obviously I had kind of past history with the Nintendo. I wanted to play Mario Kart Double Dash, which went on to be, you know, one of my favorite games. Again, a game I was just obsessed with. Again, like the original Mario Kart, I just played it nonstop. Got to the point where I was just, I was amazed. I'm not great at a lot of games, but Mario Kart Double Dash was one where I was at the kind of the height of abilities and could beat everyone that of my friends that I played against, which I was always quite proud of. And at the time, because real life doesn't matter then. It's just having bragging rights in a video game. But I mean, we'd play a lot of the GameCube was primarily a multiplayer thing. We'd play like Dash, and there was like a Bomberman game that we quite liked, and a few other games. Like a couple of my other friends had GameCubes as well, so you know, we spent a lot of time playing multiplayer titles on the GameCube. And speaking of multiplayer, actually, that generation was also my first experience with online play. I mean, I didn't actually have the ability to like set up for my PlayStation 2 to play online, but two of my friends did. They'd sent away for that disc that you needed. But I'd often be at their houses, which gave me the chance to kind of play Tony Hawk's online, to play Time Splitters, which was funny enough, we talked about rentals before. Time Splitters 1 was a big rental game for me and my friends. So to get to play like Time Splitters 2 and 3 online was amazing. They were my first experience with first person shooters, and it was eye opening as well to go online. Like, as I said, I was probably the best, if not maybe the second best of my friends at Tony Hawk's, but online I was average. Like I was mid table. I mean, these kids online were gods. They were gods among men. It was crazy. But it was cool to finally get to play online. I think that kind of planted a seed really when it came to the next generation, because, you know, moving on to the next generation. Well, actually, I think something in between, you know, to jump back forward to handhelds. I did have a Game Boy Advance SP. It was very short lived. I was quite a late adapter of the Game Boy Advance. I had played a Game Boy Advance at my friend's house, again, same friend, but I didn't have my own until quite late in the life cycle. But I, about 2 months after having it, I brought it in. It was in my school bag, and someone nicked it from my school bag. So that was great.
What an absolute prick.
I know.
But just it was a teacher.
Took my Game Boy Advance and my copy of Final Fantasy 1 and 2, Dawn of Souls. That was the end of my Game Boy Advance.
If you're listening to this, you're a prick.
I know. Fuck you. I mean, it was years, and that kind of put me off handheld gaming for quite a while. And it was maybe 2 or 3 years later, I picked up a PSP on launch, saved for months to get the PSP, and I don't know why I bothered. I mean, don't get me wrong, long term, PSP turned out to be a great console with some great games, but early on, the games were terrible. There's no good games for that console. And because of that, like, I got a hand, I think, like, I initially got the console and I couldn't afford any games. Don't know how my brain worked at the time that I thought that was a good idea, but got the console, no games. So I initially made do, but my brother got me the only PSP game that his video store got in, which was a Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition. You don't really buy a handheld to play a racing game. But true, I actually true. Quite enjoyed this racing game.
Midnight Club was a good franchise. It needs to come back.
Yeah, I mean, it played quite well on the PSP. I have to say, it was a great port. And then my other brother picked me up two games while he was in America, because the PSP had been out a bit longer there, so the games had dropped a little bit. He picked me up Twisted Metal and Metal Gear Acid. And to be honest, neither game really caught my attention. Twisted Metal was kind of a boring game on your own. Metal Gear Acid just wasn't really for me, like a card stealth game. It was just kind of silly. So I never really got into that. I mean, eventually I picked up kind of like the port of Breath of Fire 3, like the PS1 game. That was good, but again, it was a game I'd kind of played before. I picked up Liberty City Stories, which I think was the first game I actually finished on the PSP.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I picked up a handful of other titles, but I never really got into the PSP, and eventually I actually sold it off because I just didn't give it enough time. Now, eventually, I rebought a PSP and I have a lot more games now, a lot of games that came out after I'd sold mine. But at the time, it didn't really catch me, and it probably, in hindsight, wasn't a good worth my while saving up.
I've actually got a funny story about the PSP. My brother's just walked it. I'm sure he can remember this as well. When I broke your PSP the first day you got it, because Liverpool were losing to Luton in the FA Cup, and you were mouthing off to me. We started fighting, and I broke your PSP. Yeah, I think I've got, because we were fighting, I put my knee through his PSP.
Yeah. You've reminded him now, guy. He's going to want you to go buy him a new PSP.
Well, he got a new one. He got a better one, because I think my mum bought a cheap shitty one for him. But yeah, it was. I remember that quite funny.
But yeah, those kind of stories are always good when you're breaking people. No one ever broke a console on me, but I've had people break. Well, someone stole one, as I've been over, but I had people break controllers over the years. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
That's just a drawback of gaming, I suppose. But moving on to the next gen. Similar to saving up for the PSP, I was initially saving up for a PS3, because at the time, as I said, JRPGs were my favorite genre. Final Fantasy 13 and Final Fantasy 13 Versus, which later became Final Fantasy 15 for those that aren't familiar with it, were both supposed to be PS3 exclusives at the time. So I was fully in camp PS3, but that all changed thanks to two things. Firstly, it started to become clear that the PS3 was going to be a very expensive console when it eventually did come out, because at that time I would have spent a lot of time on gaming websites and that kind of thing, so I was very up to speed on things. And secondly, one random day my brother said to me, do you want to come to my friend's house with me to play Pro Evo on his Xbox? And I was like, but we have it on PS2. And he's like, yeah, no, but this is the Xbox 360. It's the next generation console. Ooh. And I was like, yeah, I've played an Xbox. I'd played an Xbox 360 at my cousin's house. I mean, my cousin, again, one of the cousins I discussed earlier, you know, he was a big gamer. He eventually actually lost interest in games, but at the time, you know, he was in college studying development. He was really into games. I used to go over to his house to play things, and he was the first person I knew who got an Xbox 360, and I can remember playing Perfect Dark Zero at his house. But it didn't really set the world alight. It just seemed kind of like a GoldenEye kind of follow up, but it wasn't really GoldenEye. You know, it just didn't really capture me. So I wasn't wowed by the Xbox 360 initially. But nonetheless, I didn't really have anything on. So I went over to this friend's house with my brother to play PES. Played a few games of PES. PES was always fun. And then my brother's friend said, oh, I've got this game, Gears of War. You should give it a try. And my brother was like, oh, I'm not really into those kind of games. But Carl is. And he was like, all right, Kyle, do you want to try this? And I was like, oh, cool. Started playing Gears of War. I was just like, wow. Like, it literally, my brother's friend went to bed. He went to bed. I just stayed up most of the night on my own playing Gears of War, just playing online, playing a bit of a campaign. And I was just like, this game is insane. Like, I really can't remember too many other games that I played that I hadn't really, like, I'd seen a couple of the ads on TV or that kind of thing, but it hadn't really wowed me. But playing it, it just, I don't know what it was, you know, just simply that it was a great game. It just caught me and I was just sold. And I remember going to my friend Matt, again, the friend I've been talking about all along, and I was just like, this game, Gears of War, amazing. We have to get 360s. He was like, but I want to get a PS3. I was like, no, we have to get 360s. Look into this game. And obviously at the time he had YouTube and that. He went, checked it out on YouTube, read some articles online. He was like, all right, I'll buy a 360. So I didn't have the money straight up to go buy one there and then. He did. So he went, picked up his 360 with Gears of War and Saints Row and a wrestling game and Pro Evo. And I was literally waiting in his driveway for him and his mom to get back with the 360. Like, there's me, I think I would have been 16 at the time, going on 17, just standing in his driveway. Him and his mom pull up, comes in with the console, rush into his house, set it up, power on Gears of War, play through the campaign, and then when we finish playing through the campaign, straight online. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning, who cares? Straight online. Played for about an hour, went to sleep for about 4 hours, got up and started playing online again. Like, we were that hooked. Now, in order to get my 360, I had a few, maybe 100, 200 saved. I then had to trade in a large selection of my PS2 games and most of my PSP games to be able to afford my 360. I got my 360, which was a Call of Duty 3 bundle, and the store threw in a bundle copy of Gears of War that they'd had traded into them that they weren't really comfortable with reselling because it was a bundle copy. So they threw that in for like an extra €20, and then I bought a copy of Pro Evo 6. So they were my first few games, and then my friend sold me his wrestling game for like €20-30 because he wasn't really that interesting, and I wanted to kind of give it a try because I hadn't tried one in a while. But early days, I was just obsessed with Gears of War largely. It was actually around this time that I got into clan gaming, which really dominated my time with the 360. Like, I'd never really been massive on multiplayer. Like, I liked Tony Hawk's, I liked Mario Kart, I liked Time Splitters. I liked what I liked, but I didn't like a lot of things. And largely, again, as I said, I wasn't the best of gamers. I was usually kind of mid-table or below in terms of my friends' hierarchy. So, and especially like my friend Madigan, he's particularly gifted at games. So I would lose to him a lot. That wasn't fun. Once you've lost to someone enough times in the game, it's not fun. So I wouldn't really be that interested in playing multiplayer games. But something with the 360 just caught on with me. I mean, I knew my cousin. He was a PC gamer. He was involved in clan gaming and like Dawn of War and stuff. So I'd kind of talk to him about that and kind of it sounded cool. So when we got our 360s, like, let's join a clan. And we ended up joining a clan, which is called the Wild Rovers. It was like an Irish clan. Joined up with them. Yeah, I know, cheesy name. But it was like, it wasn't really what I expected. They didn't really play clan matches. They'd played a few clan matches in the past, but they just kind of, they were more a community more than a clan. And that kind of, I wanted to play clan. Like, we did, I actually organized the Gears of War tournament between the clan, and that was a lot of fun. But I mean, it just wasn't kind of what I'd expected. So we ended up leaving there and went off and joined actually a clan. It was called, Xbox Gamers Live, and its founder was a guy, his tag name was Potleg UK, and he was actually from Middlesbrough. He's from your neck of the woods. Ooh. He was the founder. He was a guy, he would have been in college at the time, whereas, as I said, I was about 16-17, and kind of from there and kind of spun off, played in different clans over the years, got quite competitive in Gears of War, Rainbow Six Vegas. I mean, was on teams that were unbeaten in Rainbow Six Vegas, played on game battles on Rainbow Six Vegas with a particular team. We managed to kind of break top 10 in Europe. Another one was with Gears of War. I remember Gears of War 3, there was a league site called WGL that was kind of the set up a league site rather than ladders, which is what like game battles and that done. And their inaugural Gears of War 3 tournament, like league, did two leagues for two separate game modes. Like, the team that I'd kind of recruited to the clan I was in at the time, and that I ran the team, we won both leagues without losing a match, without even dropping a game. Actually, I think we won every game 3-0. Like, we absolutely blitzed it. Now, it all ended in tragedy when, I think, two games short of the end of the tournament, one of our best players got himself banned for posting an acceptance speech the day before we were due to play second on the league. Because that's the kind of guy this guy, his name was Swiss. Like, he was insane, and he was a totally egomaniac. But he was a good player. Like, he could back it up. Like, he was one of the best Gears of War players I've ever came across. And like, even without him, though, you know, I ended up, I think, having to play in the last two games. I stepped in from, like, I'd played like one or two of the games earlier on, but I stepped in and we still won. I wasn't bad. I was all right. But again, I was kind of okay. I was half decent based on putting a lot of hours in rather than being particularly naturally gifted. But I mean, I did have kind of a talent for running things. I remember there was a guy I got to know through it. He ended up going into esports management. I don't know if he's still in it now, but one of the early Call of Duty 4 competitive teams in the UK, he was their manager. You know, you could actually manage a gaming team. It was crazy to think at the time, I could be the Rafa Benitez of video games. But and he actually tried to convince me to get into it because he's you have a talent for this, you're so dedicated and that kind of thing. But I never really kind of, I suppose I wouldn't gamble on it making it a career, but I did. A lot of times, as I joke with friends, even now, it was like a career because I spent so many hours, I probably spent more times in clan related stuff than I did actual school work. I mean, I remember, at one point I was involved in a site called World of Clans, and I was kind of the founder's right hand man at the time, and myself and a couple others basically ran this thing called the Big Clan Bash, which is just a weekend full of tournaments and clan matches, and you got points for kind of winning games and that, and then the team that accrued the most points won. So at the time I was probably putting the most into running the tournament, and at the same time I was also co-managing the clan I was in at the time because the two clan leaders had gone AWOL. So it's I don't think I slept that weekend. I think I was just on forums. And the little bit of games I played, I entered the PES tournament and stuff, it was insane. But it was just, it was massive. And funny enough, though, once I moved on to the modern era of the PS4, I just, no interest in the clan thing anymore. It's just entirely gone. I think it was just like lightning in a bottle. It was just kind of a thing of the time. It was just, it was that generation. And now it's gone. Just no interest in it anymore, which it's just, it's funny how things work, but that's the way it is. But I had a lot of fun with that at the time, but probably because of that I didn't get to play as many single player games as I would have in previous generations. But I did play the biggest ones. I played BioShock. You know, we've discussed that game a lot. We discussed it kind of in our favorite games. It's come up other places, so I don't want to thread over the same ground, but amazing game. I remember I borrowed it off my friend, got entirely hooked on it. And because of BioShock and how into BioShock I was, I initially ignored Mass Effect. And it wasn't until I played Mass Effect 2, which a friend loaned to me and loved Mass Effect 2, that I went back and bought Mass Effect 1 and played through that and realized what a great game I'd ignored. Those games are just, they are some of the, it's not an exaggeration to say they're some of the best games ever made. I can't say anything more than that. Other things like The Darkness, which is a brilliant adaptation from kind of the comic books. Not sure, did you ever play that one?
No, it doesn't ring a bell either.
I think it's backwards compatible on Xbox One. Tanya, go into a CEX, you'll probably get a copy. I've seen it at every CEX I've ever gone into. You'll probably get a copy of it for 50 pence. And just play it on your Xbox One. It's not a long game. You'll probably complete it in a couple of days, but it's quality. Darkness 2 isn't too bad either. Mm. But Darkness 1 is kind of a better story and kind of seems more of a kind of a faithful tie into the comics. So I definitely would recommend that game. I mean, strange for me to be recommending an Xbox 360 title, but it's 50 pence. So, you know, if you see it, get it. But that was kind of the 360 for me. The PS3, I was a very late adopter for the PS3. I basically got my PS3 to play The Last of Us. Mm. Just couldn't resist. Just had to. Went out that May, picked up the PS3, pre-owned, picked up a copy of The Last of Us brand new. Started The Last of Us, and strangely, I don't know what it was. I don't know whether it was just I was in the lull towards gaming in general at the time, but it didn't actually capture me straight away. I played it for a day or two, put it down, and then it was kind of later in the winter when I was kind of more back into games, I picked it up again, started it again, and was absolutely hooked. And I remember at the time I'd injured my eye, so I basically only had one eye working. My eye was just totally glazed over, so I just had a patch over it. So I was basically playing The Last of Us with one eye, like a pirate or something, you know? But it was just that good. I just couldn't put it down, even though it wasn't the ideal way to play the game. I just could not put that down.
I've heard that of a couple of people who couldn't get into it straight away, really.
Yeah, it was just... Yeah. I think it was just a time because, to be honest, from what I remember, I wasn't really playing many games at the time anyway. It was just, you know, you get into those lulls where you might not play a game for a few weeks. And I was trying to force myself out of it with Last of Us and it just didn't click. But once I gave it a proper chance, it just, there was no looking back. It was amazing. But that was kind of like PS3. I played a handful of other PS3 exclusives around the time, but that was kind of the big one. And that was the reason I got it. Obviously, like anyone, I the family had a Wii at the time, and you know, mess around on Wii Sports and stuff. But it was never a major kind of Wii. Like everyone had a Wii, but you know, barely played it. I think that's the standard for Wiis.
The first two weeks were class. After that, not so much.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it's. I think my fondest memory of the Wii was the skiing game on Wii Fit. I mean, me and my brother had like a rivalry for the high score. It kind of sums up the Wii.
Oh yes,
Wii Fit skiing. But moving on, kind of to the modern day. I mean, now obviously nowadays I have all three consoles, but the PS4 was the first one I picked up. Didn't get it at launch. Didn't really see the need. You know, there was what, like Killzone, Shadowfall, and I think shortly after, like Infamous Second Son came out. But nothing really was kind of like, you need to get this console. But the game that did was Destiny. I was never going to get Destiny on the 360. That would have been, or the PS3. That was going to be stupid. I did play the beta on the PS3 though, which was cool. But Destiny coming out, same with my friend. Firstly with Matt, we kind of just planned. We were like, right, we're going to get PS3. We're going to pre-order the Destiny bundle for the day Destiny comes out. Both of us got it. Said to our other friend Brian, who would have played a lot of games with us kind of through the 360 era, and that was like, yeah, we're getting PS3 4s, getting this game Destiny, read up on it, watch some YouTube videos, you've got to get it too. So he did that, and then he went out and picked up his PS4. Our friend Barry, who's a guy, funny enough actually, you know, as I said, I spent a lot of time in clans, met a lot of people throughout the years, but never really stayed in contact with any of them except Barry. Like Barry, I met kind of in one of my earliest clans, and we just kind of clicked, both loved Gears of War. And I kind of dragged, kind of when I'd moved to new clans, I'd bring Barry along with me, kind of just stuck with us through the years. And he kind of just integrated himself into our friend group. Like the rest of us all knew each other in real life, but didn't stop him kind of getting in on us. So when we got Destiny, he was part of the plan as well. I was just like, text him, like, get a PS4, get Destiny. He was like, cool. Went out and got a PS4 and Destiny. And then the four of us all started on that. You know, we used to do the raids, and we picked up got to know some cool guys from America. There was this group of American friends that we kind of integrated with and became this bigger group. And there was a couple of European lads. There was a guy from Belgium, there was a guy from, I want to say Sweden, I think he was Swedish, that we picked up. And there was an English lad as well from the lived in days. We used to slag him that he lived in the boonies because he lived in the Lake District. And he hated, like, he said, I hate cities. I'd never live in a city, and I'd never, you know, I'd be like, yeah, but that internet connection, you know, it's just giving him abuse over the drawbacks of living in the countryside. But like, you know, it was just Destiny was just an experience. It was just like an event game. And although we weren't long-term Destiny players, like we played it for, I think, through the first couple of DLCs, well, largely just the first DLC. I think even in the second DLC, we only played for a couple of weeks and then jumped off. But the time we played religiously, and that was largely all we played was Destiny. Like we'd buy other games and then just play them for like a day and then just back to Destiny. It was crazy. And, you know, kind of going through then, obviously eventually picked up a Switch, picked up an Xbox One would be my most recent pickup. Obviously, I've had Pip picked up a Vita at some point. Can't even recall now. I have most of the more recent consoles, and I go back to older consoles from time to time, because I am like kind of a collector of games. I own probably about this stage. About, I'd say I started collecting around the time I picked up my PS3, so that would have been about 2013. It's about 6 years now, and I now have over 800 physical games. Ooh. Never going to get around to playing them all, but I have. But yeah, so but yeah, no, that, I think that kind of sums up me and gaming really. It was a long one really, but that's because I've had so much experience. I mean, you're talking, as I said, I was about three and a half maybe when I started. I'm 29 now, so you're talking 25, 26 years really. So it's a long time of gaming.
Wonderful, wonderful. Just before we finish then, any other games from this current gen that jumps out at you, apart from Destiny?
The Witcher. Whoa. The Witcher 3.
The right answer.
We've been there. We've talked about this so many times. So again, I won't thread too much, but The Witcher 3 is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's an immense game. Like, it's just, I love RPGs, and this is the top tier of RPGs. Again, we've said it so many times, but anyone who hasn't played this game, anyone before it gets to next gen and then suddenly you're shunning this gen and saying, I can't go back and play old games, play The Witcher 3. It'll only take you 150 hours, but it'll be 150 hours well spent.
Absolutely. Beyond
that, just to fire off, Spider-Man, we've talked about that extensively. Awesome. God of War. Are amazing, you know. I think they'd be probably my favorite games from this generation that I've got around to playing so far.
Yeah, and oh, do I dare make the promise that we're gonna do the Witcher 3 review? We've talked about it. Should we promise it, Carl?
Yeah, no, I'd be. I mean, we're still in the lull, so I'd be happy to kind of. We never did one, so I'd be happy to kind of do an in-depth review of The Witcher 3. I mean, I think it's a game that deserves it. I mean, we gave God of War that treatment. We gave Red Dead that treatment. We gave Spider-Man. Yeah. I can't remember though. I know I did one and then Stu did the other. Was it I did the preview and Stu did the review, or was it vice versa?
I think he did the preview because you were busy with something.
I think I was sick at the time, yeah. Because I remember Stu wishing me a get well soon, you know, very, very touching.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I must have done the review then, yeah. So we reviewed that as well. So I think it's unfair.
We haven't handed out a 10 yet. Should I go for our ratings just to get a bit of a spice into it before we actually do Witcher whenever we do it? Spidey, yeah. 8 each. God of War, 9 each. RDR 2. You gave it 8.5, I gave 9.5. So at the moment, RDR2 is my best we've reviewed so far, and yours is God of War, which is quite fitting, I suppose. But yes, I imagine before this gen ends, there will be a few more games on there we can talk about.
Yeah, so I mean, for Witcher, I mean, it just has to be a 10. There's just no other way around it.
Yeah, it's a definite spoiler. It will be a 10, but in the next couple of weeks we will try and get the Witcher 3, what should we call it, retro review. I think I've seen that banded about multiple gaming sites. We'll call it the retro review, but we'll try and get a few more done before the end of this gen. I mean, the Cyberpunk, maybe Watch Dogs and stuff like that, even Star Wars. But there'll be a few before the end of this gen and the start of next gen. It'll be hot with reviews, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of retro reviews, I was thinking kind of not so long ago, obviously, you're still plugging away at Final Fantasy VII.
I am.
So when you finally complete that, it might be an idea for us to review that. I mean, considering especially, I think it's kind of topical with the remake
that's a good point.
Finally on the horizon. So I'd be interested to get your take on that, because it's obviously a game I've never reviewed it personally, but I've spent a lot of friends that are really into Final Fantasy, so I've spent countless hours talking about that game. So I'd be interested kind of to get your insight on your thoughts and maybe give a few of my own. So that might be an idea kind of as we're filling in the lull between E3 and TGS. It'd be an idea to kind of to get a few reviews in there of kind of older games like The Witcher and Final Fantasy.
There you go, people. We've got two shows planned live on mics. We will. We'll definitely do The Witcher first. I have to finish Final Fantasy VII. I have no idea how long this bloody game is, but I must be near the end. I don't think I am. I checked how long it is. I think I've got like another 20 hours to go.
Where are you now, actually?
Where am I now? I'm just got the fourth big materia from the water nuclear plant. I've just got the submarine. That's probably a better way to say it. And I've done a couple side missions that required the submarine. So I got like Vincent's fourth limit breaker and stuff like that. So yeah, I've just got the submarine. That's probably whereabouts I am.
That's fairly far in. I'm trying to kind of. I know it's not exactly early.
I had a look. I think I'm like 30 hours in. I think on it said like 40 to 50 is probably how long it'll take.
Yeah, you're not bad at all. You know, even looking at a kind of a walkthrough there, you're basically in the final quarter of the game.
Cool. So it won't take me that long. Maybe next week,
too bad at all.
Next week, Witcher, and depending news and Final Fantasy progress, we'll get two reviews done in our next two shows. Let's say that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair commitment. I mean, have you been playing anything else other than Final Fantasy VII?
Oh God, suffering with my mate's choice of games at the minute. I think I talked about FIFA the other day. Still shit. Still a shit game. Gone back on COD Blackout recently. It's just what it is. I just want to play Modern Warfare at this stage. Also, the last couple of days, I've gone back on PUBG. That game is bad. It's fucking bad. So, for a game that was as big as it was when it first, like, was obviously such a juggernaut on PC, the console version's shit. It looks like a PlayStation 2 game, and the servers might as well be fucking Game Boy fucking server. It's awful. But yeah, I'm suffering through that because people won't let me play single player games in peace.
I must actually jump on that, which isn't. I've never played PUBG. I have it downloaded on my Xbox and Game Pass, and I just haven't bothered playing it. So must jump in just one evening just to try it and just be curious to see what all the fuss was about. Yeah. But you haven't kind of started up any new single player games. You're a lot nice to see you're so committed to Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'll normally. Because I never get left alone to play my games. I always have to play these shit games. I always have one single player game on the background. So I think it'll be 7, and then hopefully finish 9 before anything comes up. I think the next thing coming out is Borderlands, so that's kind of multiplayer. So I can kind of jump in and out with that, I suppose.
Yeah, you've got a couple months to go there though with that. So that's plenty of time. You'll probably be able to fit another game in between. Final Fantasy, and when that comes out, so that's not too bad. I actually started a couple of new games in the last since we last kind of did the record the last pod. I mean, I'm still plugging away in that Final Fantasy IX Platinum. One trophy left, which is the Excalibur 2 trophy, which requires you basically to get a certain point of the game right at the end of the game, basically, in less than 12 hours. So I'm doing a speed run to do that, but it's a little boring because I've only recently played the game. So I'm kind of just, I'll jump on that for 20 minutes here or there, do 20 minutes and then come back to it another time. But I started two new games, started Detroit Become Human, because that was one of the free games last month. And I said on the last show that I planned to play that.
Any good? I've always been curious about that.
I'm enjoying it. I mean, visually so impressive, and I mean the characters are interesting. I mean there's quite a notable cast. I can't think of names. I say that and then I can't think of names offhand, but there's a guy, you know, he often seems to be a bad guy. He often seems to play bad generals in like TV shows and movies, but he's like a cop in this. And there's a guy who was in, I can't think of his name, but he was in Cabin in the Woods. He was also in Grey's Anatomy.
I'd just recognize him if random I saw him.
Things. You would, yeah. His name is I'll get it now. But but it's quite a notable cast. And there's So I've been playing that. I mean, the story seems interesting. I mean, I've never been a massive fan of Jesse Williams. That's his name. Jesse Williams. Yeah. So he's one of the notable people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've never been mad on kind of the gameplay of those of Quantic games, you know, like Heavy Rain and Indigo Prophecy or Fahrenheit, depending on what region you're in. They were the two I'd played previously, like the whole quick time event type game. I mean, I'm not great at quick time events, so it can be a little annoying. Sometimes I fail things and be like, no, that's going to mean that character's going to die, so I'm going to have to start again. Start like the chapter game, but so that does get a bit annoying. But I mean, you persevere because you like the story and you like the characters and you like what's going on. So I'm enjoying that so far, and I'm looking forward to kind of playing through it. It's supposedly not too long. The other game I started was actually I Am Setsuna, which is a JRPG. It's kind of a Chrono Trigger inspired JRPG from Tokyo RPG Factory. It was actually their debut game and probably their best game so far. And I'm enjoying that. Like it's a JRPG, but it's not like kind of a heavy full on like Final Fantasy would be. I mean, it's only about, you can finish it in kind of 30 to 40 hours, depending on how much grinding you do. It's very simplistic, but it's got a charm to it, and I do like kind of the battle system, which they've kind of taken heavy inspiration from Chrono Trigger for. So I'm enjoying that. I think I'm close to finishing that now. I'm quite close to the end, from what I gather. So I'll probably then start up something else new. But it's nice to kind of pick up two new games after kind of being largely focused on ridiculously long titles.
Yeah, cool. Not heard of them, so I can't really add much. But Carl, this has been a short show for us, which has not been short at all. It's been an hour and 24 minutes, but we will finish up there. So thank you, and it's been great delving into your gaming history. As we said, we will do retro reviews soonish. I won't promise a time period, as we normally fuck it up. But yes, we will do some retro reviews over the course of the remaining of the summer. But yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for joining me, Carl. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that
rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.